Back here for another episode of Fry Bread Journeys at 9:10, because it is the fourth Monday of the month, and we got lots of fun headed your way. And now we have the hosts of Fry Bread Journeys, Chris Crane and Amy Dollar.
OCO.
Halito.
Beautiful March day.
Yes, it's really nice.
And we always like to start the show out by thanking
Sten Jotty for letting us use his song Greasy Fry Bread as our intro and outro on our show every month.
Take them all.
Oh, all right. And we would like to also thank our show's sponsors, Smile and Charlie Crane. I hear he has a birthday coming up pretty soon. And the Cooperative Credit Union here in Coffeyville. It's where you belong. And the Cherokee Nation. Wado, we appreciate your support.
So our special guest today is John Weston. He is a fellow Cherokee. He's a member of Native American Fellowship. He is secretary for the Washington County Cherokee Association. John has a new radio show that is aired on KGGF's sister station, K1, three times monthly, and it's called Cherokee Chat. And we're just glad he's here, and he's going to hang with us today and put his two cents in.
That means hello, everyone. So anyway, I have a show in Bartlesville, KWN 1400. It's called Cherokee Chat. Thank you, Chris and Amy, for having me on. It's always great to see you. I'd like to thank our sponsor, who is Cooperative Credit Union as well, located right down the street here in Coffeyville at 313 West 9th. They have some of the best rates around. Check them out today on Facebook or their website at cooperativecu.com. They're committed to providing you with personalized financial service, and it's where you belong, insured by NCUA. They have a great guy over there. Everyone knows him, President Lyle Martin.
He is probably pretty happy because he's getting a lot of extra advertising today.
That's right.
Mean, go Lyle.
We're going to thank our sponsors for sure.
We do, because that's what makes it possible.
And he's always great about helping out with our communities no matter what we need. He's always working to learn more about our culture and our history and our language. And I'm happy to know him and call him Oganali, which just means friend in Cherokee.
That's true. We all love her. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Lyle. So
that's true.
And I didn't get a chance to talk to James, but I came to the home show. You were on the air with somebody, but Lyle has the same booth every year.
Yeah.
Every year, and we came down Saturday and
it's a nice
got to visit.
Spot.
He is a good spot.
Yeah.
And John Leonard told me that he goes ahead and reserves it for the next year. I think that's pretty funny. But so we've got birthdays today. There's a lot of birthdays.
There are. Look, Aretha Franklin and Sir Elton John and astronaut Jim Lovell. Hey, from the Apollo 13, Houston, yep. We have a problem. I just was talking about him at the NASA exhibit. He's
Absolutely.
On my cheat fact sheet so I can tell the people stuff.
That is exactly why I put him on there.
That is very cool.
Because what's going on down at the Aviation Museum?
So, yeah, we have the NASA exhibit as part of visiting the Aviation Heritage Museum up at Feaster Park. And it is open Wednesday through Sunday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And or by appointment, you can call if you have a group or even yourself. You can call, make an appointment if those times don't fit. And come up there and see. We have an actual Apollo spacesuit. That's why I get to talk a lot about the Apollo program. And we have some panels, a little bit of reading, but they're really interesting. We have panels on the history of manned spaceflight, and we have panels on the we have an actual space shuttle tire from the space shuttle Columbia.
That's
amazing. Went into space February 1994. So it's older than most of the kids that come to see it, but they get to see it and they get to touch it. It's been into space, so it's pretty cool.
Bartlesville has a connection to the space program. One of those connections is that Wiley Post did a lot of the testing for spacesuits, pressurized spacesuits,
that were
the forerunners to the spacesuits we have now.
I actually met a man last week that had brought up his daughter and grandson, and they had come. He was from south of South Coffeyville. He was Cherokee. But I met him, and he told me that Wiley Post made the first pressurized spacesuit, and I did not know that.
He did a lot of those tests at the Bartlesville Municipal Airport.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I like
Wiley
being up
Post
there.
Was. He was the pilot when Will Rogers, he and Will Rogers were both killed at the same time at Point Barrow, Alaska.
That's right.
And they were taken
alive.
Was it 1935?
I think so.
Okay.
And what was amazing about Wiley Post was he only had vision in one eye because he had suffered damage from an oil field accident.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're a pilot, depth perception is obviously something that's very important. So I'm really amazed at what he was all able to accomplish even after losing his eye.
Yeah, he was very interesting. There's an airport in Oklahoma City named after Wiley Post.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also Don's birthday here at the station.
I was wondering, I was going to ask you whose birthday it was.
Happy birthday, Don.
The birthday girl was wearing the sash earlier.
Yeah. We saw that, and she's excited, and I saw you've got cookies and cake already out there, and then I brought cake, and I told her.
We got donuts.
Donuts, yes. Yeah. John brought donuts. I mean,
I'm wondering if anyone brought insulin, because I think we're going to need it if we have all the stuff we have out here today.
We may need this. So this day in history, and I actually, Amy caught that because I didn't, but in 1948, the first successful tornado forecast predicts a tornado at Tinker Air Force Base. I just thought Tinker was an Enid for whatever. No, it's Midwest City.
Yes, Midwest City. Yep.
Okay. And there was actually two tornadoes. One hit on the 20th of March, 1948, and the other one hit on the 25th, and they at least knew it was coming. And I guess from what I read, they were about F3, which is how, what's the scale?
I think it goes up to 5.
Yeah, 5.
So it's not any tornadoes.
F5 is what hit more.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Both times.
Yeah. I kind of cracked up reading this because I was thinking about Gary England. He was a personality at KWTV Channel 9 in Oklahoma City. And it was like, I wonder if Gary England was around in 1948 to do these forecasts for the tornadoes they had there.
Travis Meyer wasn't, though.
No. He was probably being born a little bit after that.
Gary England used to do the those terrible twisters. And he would do it to teach you how to protect yourselves from tornadoes and recognize it. And he'd go to malls. And it was in the 80s. I loved it. I went and watched him at Oakwood Mall every time. We've met each other a couple times.
I'm teasing. I laugh. Big James is laughing at me. But I'm like, I was a little worried because I know John and I know Amy. And Amy and John have just met a couple of times. But hey, we're all like one big family.
What I know is she's down at the chamber and they have ices down there.
We do.
That's a huge draw to the chamber.
That's true. That's true. Do you want to take the next one in? We've got down there, Amy.
Oh yeah. Oh, so in 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. led civil rights activists on a march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, 4 days, and was completed this day.
Yeah, it took him 4 days to get there. So, and in 1983, I always think this is fine and funny. Michael Jackson was filming a special about Motown, and that's when he first performed the Moonwalk. It wasn't aired on TV until in May, but the little famous moonwalk dance
that's a pretty cool.
I remember being in second grade and all of us kids were out there trying to do the moonwalk.
I can't get it. I'm not that coordinated.
Yeah, me either.
John, we were laughing because he'll tell you some kind of a funny thing, but in 2001, Björk, the Icelandic singer, who is a little odd, she came up to the Academy Awards and wore a swan dress. Does anybody remember?
I remember
seeing this? It had like the neck of the swan came all the way around her neck and all this. And I said, it's pretty tame because we're, you know, what did Lady Gaga wear that meat dress thing one time?
Yeah.
But John had something funny he was telling about that.
The host of the Academy Awards that year was Steve Martin. And Steve Martin, after Bjork had left the stage, he said, I would have worn my swan dress, but it was so last year. I thought that was great. Classic Steve Martin.
I like Steve Martin. So
yeah.
But one of the things, James, you and I talked about on Thursday on the NAFI notes was the different dialects. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, well, I kind of felt like you were maybe a little snobbish, honestly.
Oh, my.
About the soda and pop argument.
Yeah.
You say
pop. Soda guy.
You say,
no,
he's
pop.
A pop.
Really?
Yeah.
And then I said soda pop, and he just kind of, almost a sneer, I would
soda
say.
Soda pop's the worst. I mean, this is like double, you're doubling up. Either all right, fine, you can do pop, you can do soda, but if you do soda pop, it's just like, that's way
that's
too much.
That's why.
My father-in-law takes it one step further, and he calls it soda pop.
Oh,
so it's just, it's even worse, yeah.
And Coke, and there's different types of Coke.
Oh, yeah, Coke.
Coke
is
not just Coke.
Generic
do you want
term for
Pepsi
some people.
Coke, I guess, or Dr. Pepper Coke, or.
So it depends on where you're at in Oklahoma, and what kind of Coke do you want? I just remember being somewhere with my grandparents when I was younger, probably Southeast Oklahoma area, and the waitress saying, "What kind of Coke do you want?" And then pop, they always said Coke Okie Doke.
The Coke thing irritates me though, and I had that happen when we were in South Carolina.
But yeah, you're getting down into the Arklatex, and that is where that Coke will start to take over. So.
But I also found the ones that we found out in the South. Athletic shoes are called tennis shoes, which that's what
I call
them. But on the East Coast, they're referred to as sneakers. But apparently John refers to them as sneakers.
My wife is always quick to point that out. But yeah, sneakers is what I call them.
And that the word frying pan is used both the North and the South. But the word skillet is used only in the Midwest and the South. No one in the North uses the word skillet, which I think is kind of odd. Because what did you say? The frying pan isn't necessarily for frying.
Yeah.
They're just... Yeah,
I know. I think frying pan, I always think cast iron, too.
Sure.
That's the other
Something
thing.
Something actually frying.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the one I also had was the shopping carts. I was asking my mom, and I said, shopping carts, shopping baskets? She said, buggies.
Buggies.
And I was like, okay. And yeah. I have heard it, but not too many. And what did you say? You were talking about the lunch thing.
Oh, the dinner. Dinner or supper. It's breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Yeah. That's what I call it. My wife calls it breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Dinner and lunch.
I say breakfast. Yeah. Dinner and supper are the evening meals to me. That's interchangeable, dinner and supper. Yeah. But lunch is lunch.
Well, yeah. Chris and I were talking about a couple before the show, and I thought it was kind of interesting. My grandfather was a cab driver here in Coffeyville in the 30s, and he always referred to a cab as a jitney. And it was just something I'd never heard before. And then I was watching a show one day, and... it was a talk show, and basically one of the guests had referred to a cab as a jitney, and so the host was like, nobody knew what that was. They were like, what is that? And so it was a cab. And then there was another one I was trying to think of. My grandmother was from Texas, and my great-grandmother was from Texas, and they used to refer to ponds as tanks. So if you go down, they were like, go down to the tank and get me some water. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't get that at all.
Is it because it was dug? Maybe because it was man-made.
A tank is something man-made.
But it's a
thing. A pond is, but I would see. I think it's being a metal structure of some kind.
We had a pond in the front yard, and I always just said pond. I never heard that.
It's tanks, so very strange.
But you're from Wichita, right, James?
Yeah.
So what else? What else you got other than this soda pop thing that you're just being kind of?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we always like see. Well, there's always the thing where people tend to say like roof, like rough a little, like roof or rough.
They
like kind of slur it together or whatever. But
Warsh.
Yeah. And you get into Oklahoma where you get to crick. You know, people are saying crick.
Exactly.
And Western Kansas too. Sometimes.
I get that, Wash spelled W-A-R-S-H.
Well, I saw a meme this weekend, and it said Oklahoma's the only place where can't and ain't rhyme, but they say can't and ain't.
Yep.
Yeah.
What bothers me is sand bass. We always went fishing for sand bass, but in Kansas they call them white bass.
White
yeah,
bass.
But oh. I never that bugs me because they're
sand
bass.
Sand bass. Yeah.
Yes, my dad would always go up on the Canton Lake or the Arkansas River would run through, and we would fish for sand bass.
That's what I call them.
Yes,
dinner.
Yeah, really.
Speaking of, that's
lunch,
probably about time for that.
Supper,
I think.
I think. Know. I'm ready to start fishing.
Yes.
Water fountain and drinking fountain.
Drinking fountain.
There's a really regional area in the U.S. where they call them bubblers.
Really?
Yeah, in like Wisconsin because it's a name brand.
Well, that's Wisconsin.
Oh, I see.
And that's just, get that
it's
out
kinda
of
like calling
get
tissues. Out,
yeah, you can't even give that any
It's
kind things.
Of like calling tissues Kleenex, just the generic catch-all
yeah,
for Kleenex.
Most people call them Kleenex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I call them all Kleenex.
I don't think I've ever called it tissue. I mean...
I do, and my wife points that out, too. She's, you know, she's
John,
like, tissue.
Yeah.
I think tissues are the little things of Kleenex they give you for, like, funerals. I always think of those as tissues, and then...
Okay.
Normal boxes on Kleenex.
I guess I just think tissue paper, and I think about wrapping presents or something. I
really,
don't
we don't ever have tissues. We just have those napkins you get from the fast food places, and we stock them up
we
in our car,
paper,
right?
That's what we use. Lord knows it's toilet paper, man. That's it. But, no, that's pretty much. I think that's kind of an interesting. We've got other stuff to discuss. I don't know, James, do you think it's too early to go to your commercial?
No,
and
then
we can
fine.
Come back and be cool for the rest of the
Sounds
broadcast?
Good.
Okay,
yep.
So...
All right, we'll have Fry Bread Journeys continuing here in moments on the Mighty 690 KGGF.
Come in and see why so many healthcare professionals and athletes recommend our store. We have top-rated athletic and walking shoes from Hoka, Brooks, and New Balance. We still measure your foot to make sure you have the correct shoe in the correct size. And we have the very best medical-grade orthotics from Pulse to make your life wonderful. Come see us at Coffeyville Brown Shoe Fit.
Gusty south winds at 15 to 30 miles per hour, partly cloudy conditions, slight chance for shower this morning, highs this afternoon near 70, and then a strong cold front will approach the area. This could trigger a couple of isolated storms near and east of the area, and one or two could become severe before moving quickly eastward. Much colder weather arrives tonight. Temperatures tomorrow morning will be near freezing. And then Tuesday, sunshine, a few clouds, and a high of 51. From the Bob Mills Weather Center, I'm Nissan 6's Alan Crone.
It's Chevy truck season at Roman Chevrolet. Slide into a 2024 Chevy Silverado High Country with tremendous towing capability. Remember, Romans pays top dollar for your vehicle, even if you don't buy from them. Romans and Independence. Together, let's drive.
Save gas and shop at Liebert Brothers. They have a variety of items, electrical, heating, and air conditioning supplies, small appliances, and home decor, all stocked for your shopping needs. Conserve your gas and shop Liebert Brothers Electric, 8th and Willow in Coffeyville.
We invite you to join us every weekday evening here on AM 690 KGGF for Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee, Bible study and interpretation of Scripture and how it relates to our contemporary lives. Through the Bible, every weekday evening at 5:30, right here on AM 690 KGGF.
Take a look around some of the finest yard landscapes in the area. What you see is probably a yard that Green Acres Garden Center and Florist in Coffeyville has had a hand in. The vision of the pros at Green Acres, along with a wonderful selection of outdoor plants and trees, borders, and rock, from great big boulders to little tiny river rock, bring out the best in any yard. Visit Green Acres at 4th and Klein for a consultation. Green Acres Garden Center and Florist in Coffeyville, helping your home show off.
Back here as we continue Fry Bread Journeys at 9:26 here on the Mighty 690. And we go back to Chris Crane and Amy Dahl, your hosts here this morning.
Well, thank you. So John Weston, who is our guest here, he's going to tell us a little bit about his show, Cherokee Chat, which is on K1. And we are going to continue this discussion I had about the K1 station. I thought it was interesting. So tell us, like, when you're on, what the idea is.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So Cherokee Chat is on the first and third Mondays of the month, which will be the 1st and the 15th of April, which coincidentally is April Fool's Day and Tax Day, so those are great days to be on. We have a third broadcast day for the month of April on the 26th at 8:30. The 1st and 15th are on at 9:45. We're on Bartlesville Radio, 1400 KWN on the AM dial, 93.1 and 95.1 on the FM dial. You can follow us on Facebook at Cherokee Chat or catch our show on Bartlesville Radio. They have a Facebook page also. You can also download a Bartlesville Radio app and actually listen to the show on demand under Community Connections. This month, to let everyone know, we're doing a prize giveaway for a handcrafted autographed flute from Tommy Wildcat. He's a Cherokee National treasure. And so anyway, you can go back and listen to the videos that we've dropped for our radio shows that we've had so far. I actually have prize words that are in those videos for, I think, the first and third broadcast that we had. And if you comment in the comment section, the prize word of the day, that enters you into a drawing to win this great flute. I mean, it is something that you're going to cherish. It's something that's very meaningful if you're Cherokee, and it's also something meaningful if you're not Cherokee. Tommy Wildcat is a nationally known figure. He's been on everything from Discovery Channel to National Geographic. He was an American Express commercial for a Beatles anthology. So we're going to be announcing the winner on Facebook on our Facebook page on Easter Sunday, and I'm going to have a very interesting way to pick our winner. So I want everyone to check out our Facebook page, because I'm going to post a video of it, and it's going to be something a little different. So remember, Easter Sunday, we're going to be picking the winner.
Okay, so I saw the last, and I posted the word for that day. Do I have to post all of the words to get in the prize?
No, just the word for that day.
Good.
And just to give you guys a clue, the words that I've used for prize words are sort of a nod to our sister program, Fry Bread Journeys.
And it's not Chris or Amy.
No.
Although those would be great words to use. So one of the, we also want to talk about, I didn't talk about it on Thursday, but because I told you we talk about it today, but on February 26th, Amy and I were lucky enough, and you and KGGF, Chief Hoskin was here,
yes.
And we did a great interview with him. I've had wonderful feedback on it, and I didn't really want to talk any more about what happened that day, but I thought we would discuss it today. John, actually, when we left here, we went to the Midland, and John came down to the Midland. So he was with us the rest of the day, too.
Bill Davis, president of NAFI, shout out to Bill Davis. He let us know that that was the state, that was the scene where he stole his first kiss, was the Midland Theater. So yeah. We're going to erect a plaque there at some point to let everyone know when they walk in that that's where Bill got his first kiss.
It was really neat that day because, you know, that was funny you mentioned that because I heard other people talking about their first kiss there and their first time to see a movie there. And I don't have, you know, because I'm not from here and when the theater was open. So I don't have that deep connection, and it was so interesting. Anyway, I like it, and I think it's cool, and I'm looking forward to it, working with it with tourism and things, but it was very enlightening that day, and kind of interesting to hear the people that had those connections. Lyle Martin, Cooperative Credit Union, talking about the first movie, you know, he didn't tell me the story that day, but he had told me that previous, in the very first movie he ever saw was at the Midland Theater, and it was a pretty cool little story that I like to remember, and so that's what I thought was neat about visiting it was, I mean, it's really neat in there, and the candy counter was awesome.
But I was actually able to go up into the projection booth, and they used to use an arc-type light to project the images onto the screen. And there's two huge projectors up there. I would guarantee they probably weigh at least 600 or 800 pounds. But I thought that would be a great thing if they ever do a restoration, complete restoration of the theater, to actually bring that down and put it in the lobby and just show people as they walk by how they used to project movies on the screen.
They used to, you know, they had Tuesday matinees, and you met Daryl Harbaugh, who was down there. Yes. Daryl's on the middle board. Daryl used to be the projectionist down there. And then he also did, because they also had the drive-in, which is no longer round, over by where Community Elementary is.
Okay.
And he did that on the weekends, too.
I wondered where it was.
Yes.
Well, and those projectors are actually still around, so the city still has them from the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And I have a lot of good memories, and that's one of the things I think that has the Midland Theater restoration going for it, is all these people have these wonderful memories.
That's true.
And, you know, they're always looking for donations, so, you know.
So if anyone else wants to see the projectors restored, you can write a check to the Midland Theater.
There you go.
That's right. And from what I understand, they're going to celebrate their centennial in 2028, because the theater was built in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that would be a great thing if they could set a goal to actually have the theater restored by that time.
And this, what was yesterday, they had an open house, and they had a little kind of a thing beforehand, but they had an open house from 2 to 4 or something where you could come in. You couldn't go out into the theater, but you could, when we all saw this, the front of the house, which was pretty impressive. What the work they've done has been great. So we want to give a shout out to them. But after we left the Midland Theater, we went downtown, went to the area foundation office where Janie and Sam are, and then we went to the Innovation Lab, and shout out
Denise.
Which is
where Coffeeville Reawakening is.
Coffeeville Reawakening, and John is also helping.
I'm going to be teaching 3D printing courses there. We're hoping to open it up to the community, say the boys, because we want to get kids interested in STEM programs. And so a few things that they do at Coffeeville Reawakenings is they do robotics, drones, and 3D printing. So we think that if we can get kids in and get them excited and interested about it, maybe they'll pursue a career in a STEM-related field. And so we're trying to reach out to the local community and see if maybe some people from the Boys and Girls Club would be interested in coming out and having a class. We know that we're going to get the Native American Fellowship youth group out there at some point. But yeah, it's just something that, you know, a lot of rural kids don't have access to things like 3D printers or drones.
Everybody
or
got to mess with the
robotics.
Drones while we were over there, which was pretty. Chief was trying to do it, and he kind of gave up. But Brian Warner, the deputy chief, he was, and Mike Shambaugh.
So I'm going to tell you who's an expert at it. Is Bill Davis.
Oh, Bill is good.
He is. I mean, I think the record was 13 seconds, and I think he was beat by a student out of Oklahoma Union.
Oklahoma Union did it 11 seconds.
11 seconds. But Bill's record was 13 seconds and making it through a three-ring course, flying a drone through it. So I'm not exactly sure how many hours he practiced to be able to accomplish that, but knowing Bill,
I think he's ambidextrous. I know he throws left-handed, and I think he's able to do right-handed too, so I think that has a lot to do with
it. It's pretty impressive, really.
But we left there and went to the hospital, and Coffeeville Regional Medical Center, the emergency services, received a check. Well, the Midland received a check for $25,000, first of all, from Cherokee Nation. And then the emergency services received $50,000, and they did that. They do that for all the hospitals that are able to service Cherokee Nation, you know, the emergency picking up in the ambulance and things like that.
Yeah, because us over in South Coffeeville, that's who would come get us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Coffeeville.
So I think that's nice that they appreciate it. Then
from what I understand, those ambulances, they go for about $250,000.
That's exactly what they go for. And they get a lot of use. I mean, because I didn't think about it. I thought, oh, they just go here. No, I mean, they're high rate to speed probably, but they have to set an idle, and there's a lot of things. But then they went, we went over, we went back to the chamber, and Amy was down there. She had picked up, we'd had food from Sunflower, and then Smile and Charlie donated a turkey roaster, a chili, which was
excellent. It was delicious.
It was really, really good.
It was.
And then we had a nice lunch, and then we also got to see the solar tables, and they did a giant check presentation to Amy for the amount of those tables, which, and they were very much interested. I think everybody from Cherokee Nation took a good look at them.
The tables are really neat. So if you haven't gone down there today, and all week would be a good day to take your lunch and sit at one of those tables and check them out.
And when it's a little cooler, the charging stations double as a cat warming center.
We noticed that picture.
I also like to sit on top of them.
I haven't seen the cat come back since then.
Really?
But it was there that one day. But they're seem to be in use, and with our tourism season starting to ramp up, I think we'll see a lot more use out of them.
Good.
I did want to say, I had something here. You know, we're not a call-in show. Which I kind of think sometimes we might. But I received an email, because on the Facebook page, my email is on there. And we received an email from Lisser, and his name was Smart Axe Chuck. And he wants to ask John Weston, what are your plans for dealing with another loss to NAFI this year?
Well, I refuse to accept the premise of that question. I know last year NAFI was really sweating it.
No, we were.
We were, because they were kind of on the ropes for a couple of rounds, and then Smiling Charlie stepped up and delivered for them. But I'm going to start tomahawk practices at WCCA with the Fighting Turkeys coming up here. I believe that's April 8th, and I'll be announcing that on Facebook. But we're going to get our team together. We're going to be bringing it this year, so you guys better start practicing.
So,
because
listener, are you listening to that?
That's right.
I think you know who that was.
We're coming for you, Chuck, just to let you know.
But also, this month on our giveaway, we've been very... Charlie's really been kind. I'll find stuff on the internet or whatever, and he'll say, hey, check out these places that I used to purchase things when I was Indian Ed director, and he would... he's willing to buy stuff for us for giveaways. And so the giveaway for this month was a Missouri River blanket. There's a picture of it on the Facebook Fry Bread Journeys page. It had a really pretty, it's called
it's a really
Sioux
nice
Star.
Blanket.
It's beautiful, actually. And I did pull this morning. I told John we had a record number of people enter the giveaway this month. Usually it's less than 30. My original post had over 30 on there, and then somebody else had shared it, and there were like three other shares, and so I had 50. So we do
can I announce the winner?
Yes, you can.
It's Starla Stevens. Woo!
That's who. Awesome. Congratulations, Starla.
Is Starla a cousin to Lyle?
I think so.
I think she might be. I think I found that out at one point.
We're all cousins to everyone.
Yeah, we are cousins.
Yeah.
So, and also I made a snack. I made it's a really chocolate, double chocolate cake. And I said I was going to bring it. I'm laughing because while we were at commercial, folks, John starts cutting into this piece of cake.
I was going to sample it. I was just sampling it for quality control.
And I had to stop him and say, hey, you guys have to try it on air. I made two of these cakes.
We get to try it now.
Okay. Go for it.
Yeah, I've been waiting.
I've already had
patiently.
Some. I made two of these because...
The sprinkles are real pretty, I think.
That
I
was
like
just an artistic touch of mine. But
delicious.
It's got... honestly, it's a box cake, but I added melted butter and milk. I did make a ganache for it, which is almost, I wish I'd done a peanut butter frosting, but it's got chocolate chips in the cake mix too. And it was pretty easy, and I'm leaving the rest of it.
What's the problem, Tina?
Tina, there's cake in there.
I thought what better time to bring you this to have this piece of cake. You won something too.
Well, thank you. I didn't realize I won anything. I won 4 tickets to the Great Passion Play in Eureka Springs.
Wow, look at that.
Oh, that's awesome.
I thought it was a good time to come in, so
appreciate
I could be
it.
Like, hey,
there's,
I want some cake.
Tina, there's plenty of cake. And Tina was also kind enough to bring me, Smiling Charlie won a bag of kettle corn at the home show.
Yeah.
Which. We have been, and we were sitting out here, John and I were visiting beforehand, and Charlie sent a text that said, bring home cake corn. So... Tina brought it to me. I took a picture of myself holding it and sent it to him, and he was like, okay, cool. So, good. It's a chocolate cake, so you have to really like chocolate to like
this. It's really good.
It is really good.
Okay. What do you think if I made a peanut butter frosting for it?
That would be a good idea.
I think it would kind of offset a little bit.
I think so. That's not a bad... Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking about
it. I mean, it's still really good as it is, but I think the peanut butter will give it a little bit.
I'm not a frosting person, and Smiling Charlie and I have had many arguments over this. I would just be fine eating cake.
Oh, frosting makes it.
That's exactly what his thing is. He also does something, this maybe we talked about the dialects. He puts the cake in a glass or a bowl, and he pours milk on it, and he mushes it up and eats it.
Oh,
never heard of that.
Huh? That's like cereal.
That yummy.
Yeah.
So the, when I make, Amy likes it.
That sounds. I don't know. I'm gonna try it. Yeah. When I make strawberry shortcake, when I make the little shortcakes, and then I pour milk on my, I love milk poured on my shortcake and absorb it all and make it kind of mushy, then put the strawberries and whipped cream on it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
He, almost kind of reminds me of a poke cake in a way, but with milk. Yeah.
I just the idea. I don't know. I mean, I'll drink milk and have a piece of cake or something, but I've never been one to dip cookies in milk or anything.
Oh,
like
I like
that.
To dip.
My grandparents used to put a piece of cornbread in milk, and then you would stir it up and eat it that way, and I really love that.
My grandfather would take soda crackers and crunch them up, and he would put coffee and sugar and mush it up, and I think it was a Depression era type thing that was like a dessert because...
Solly and Riley's grandma, she takes saltine crackers and puts them in milk and mushes them up and eats
them. Yeah, I remember my grandma talking about taking a piece of bread and like putting like dripping water on it and putting sugar on the bread.
Yeah.
Dripping my
grandparents. Just very little tiny drips of water on it.
Yeah, just
my grandparents
talk
about making red eye gravy, which I didn't know is actually just water gravy.
Yeah.
And because they had a scarcity of milk, they didn't really have flour, those things cost, and during the Great Depression, they were finding any way they could to cut corners.
Well, you know, and I've laughed. I tease my husband a lot. He's from Topeka, so he's kind of from the north. I know, but he told me we were discussing gardens. He loves okra. He had never had okra till he came to Coffeyville Community Junior College in 1978. He never had it. They just don't grow it. It's too cold up there. He also we had a discussion the other day about peanut butter and jelly, and I said, well, we did peanut butter and honey or peanut butter and syrup. And he just looked at me, he said never had it. He'd never had it before. It'd always been just peanut butter and jelly.
What do you do when you run out of jelly?
Well, apparently his mother was very good about keeping him stocked. She made jelly,
it's
I knew
jelly
that.
Conundrum.
So, but jelly conundrum. But anyway, while we're at it, we have, in honor of Amy, we have a Choctaw fry bread recipe. So Amy, I'm going to let you, these are your people.
I am definitely going to make this. We came from a poor end of people who probably didn't have a lot of berries or milk here, but 2 cups of flour, 2 spoons of baking powder, or 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 cup warm water, and 2 tablespoons honey. After it's mixed, the recipe says you can add berries, fresh or dried, and nuts if you wish. And you cooking it is the same as everything. Put it in the grease and fry it.
And I never thought about adding. It seems silly.
Me
I never
either.
Thought about adding, but we were talking about, I watch a lot of cooking shows, and they dumplings, the like for grape dumplings, it's the same recipe, but it's, I watched a cooking show, and it's basically that type of a recipe, except she used milk instead of water to make for chicken and dumplings, and she added herbs to it, and I thought, I just didn't realize it was so versatile.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I have some blueberries and raspberries at home, so I'm going to be trying this.
Well, I think some nuts in it would be good, too.
I think it would too.
And I also have found that I like syrup on it. Not a ton, a very light amount. You can go crazy. But some of the upcoming events, and I know, James, you were doing them on online, but March 28th is one that's not listed on a calendar, but 9:30, anyone is invited to come out to Green Acres. They are going to be the April Business Spotlight, and we're doing a picture. Yeah, we're going to do a picture of them ahead of time at 9:30 that morning. And so the Chamber Ambassadors will be there. And also there's an Easter cake decorating class at the college in the Oak Room at, I don't remember the time, but it's 25 a person. And I think they were limited on how many they could do.
Yeah, you did need to I think the registration might have passed for that.
Oh, really? It's already over? Oh, well.
But for
okay.
anyone who, like,
Forget
signed
it.
Up here,
Forget
that's
it.
Okay.
Okay. And then we had the Easter egg hunts. There's not a ton of them out there, but First Baptist... I didn't understand what the other one was, and I realized it was a possum, and I mean paw.
Actually, the registration is tomorrow for that Easter egg hunt, Easter class.
What about the possum egg hunt at the city rec for the dogs?
So the dogs are supposed to.
I guess
pick
you need
up
to call
egg.
The
yeah.
dogs.
Yeah,
or
the
call the city rec.
The class is from 6 to 8 until 8 on
six
that.
6 to 8 that
Easter
day.
Egg,
and tomorrow is the last day of registration.
Yeah, and then for the dogs, that is going to, the registration for that was Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can still call and ask if there's any more room. Yeah. But it was $7 for a dog, I think, and they have to be leashed.
That might be
interesting. I think that would be interesting.
I don't know what they're doing
there. I don't understand that either, what they're going to do, if they're going to hide little biscuits all over the place. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cute.
Huh, that is kind of cute.
And sorry there isn't anything. John has a lizard named Lulu.
Yes.
A bearded dragon. And
a beloved member of our family, to be sure.
Yes. And so they don't have any lizard at Easter egg hunts, unfortunately. But Buckeye Estates on North Buckeye will be having an Easter egg hunt on the 30th at 2 p.m. The First Baptist one will be at 11 on the 30th. And so
that's,
and
the right over here,
dog
right?
Hunt 11.
First Baptist,
yes, right over here on
the
Elm.
From the station.
April 1st, they're going to have an April Foolery Magic Show at the Spencer Rounds Theater at the college. It's some 7:30 p.m. and it's free. And our own Pete Walterscheid is one of the featured entertainers.
Yeah, Magic Man.
And if you haven't had the opportunity, Pete is very talented. John, Pete did a seance type thing at the Midland upstairs, and he did one at the Brown Mansion. He's very
theatrical.
Good.
That's really
very
awesome.
Very theatrical. Yeah. They're not like a real seance, but they're very good.
They're based off of Fox Sisters from the turn of the century.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're very, he's very talented.
That was
very
popular
cool.
around that time, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that the public library is going to hold a solar eclipse party on April 8th from 12:30 to 3. And then April 9th is, I just kind of stopped there because that, oh, I didn't say it. April 3rd, I'm going to be at Cedar Bluff Camp helping Erin Lee and her Native American Club. They are having their annual Native Food and Craft Day for the high school and junior high Native American clubs. And I know that Cherokee Nation will be sending some people from JOM, and they do some stickball and some games. But I come down and make fry bread for them, and then they have all sorts of food. So it's fun
that
to go out
like
there, I know.
Oh, I will be going to Longview to Dalton Days.
When are you leaving for that?
I'll leave that Friday, but it's the 6th of April.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be at Fort Towson for the eclipse at an 1840s
Jeez.
Historic
nice.
Watch party.
Going places.
Yeah, they're going to let me set up my table. I'm not going to sell anything, but give out historical information on Coffeyville. They're in the Oklahoma Historical Society will be there. It's their presentation. And then there is going to be a genealogist research from Oklahoma Historical Society there. And I can't wait to get to talk to that
so
person.
This past weekend, I was talking to a friend who lives in Broken Bow. And Broken Bow, Oklahoma, happens to be in the path of totality for the eclipse. And she said they have a population of about 4,000 people. She said the Friday before the eclipse, they're actually going to be closing the school because they're expecting an influx of 125,000 people into their town. They're calling out the National Guard because they need somebody to handle logistics. And so they've got their emergency preparedness people on alert.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Oklahoma Tourism has a whole total eclipse of the park. And like I said, I'm going to go to Fort Towson. So I was looking around there at a place to get my hotel room the night before.
Yeah.
And everything, like
it's
I thought,
booked.
Well, I'll get a cabin at Hugo Lake or something. Everything's booked.
Yep.
I ended up at shout out to the nice girl, Michaela, at the Highwayman Hotel at Hugo to get me in a hotel room because I was looking everywhere and I thought I was going to have to go stay in like Durant or something, which was a little farther than I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I've stayed down at Broken Bow. It's really pretty country.
Oh, yeah,
it is
very pretty. That whole line driving
down there. We used to
go down
to the reserve on Eagle Creek around Smithville and Hanobia, which if you're not familiar with it, and we go down to Broken Bow and eat at a place called a Bendigo's, which is great. It's a grill down there. That's actually the area where they have a lot of Bigfoot sightings, and Hanobi has actually kind of turned that into a cottage industry for tourism.
Oh yeah, like Antlers, Oklahoma, they say they see spaceships, aliens, UFO stuff, and Bigfoot. So I'm thinking, because we're right down there, Fort Towson is right by Spencerville, and that's where my people are from, Spencerville. My dad grew up there, my uncles, and I was thinking, man, between Bigfoot and aliens and the eclipse, it's 3 minutes and 48 seconds of totality. I'm thinking, I might get to see something cool might be going on.
Well, the last thing I had on there was April 9th, and I think, John, you may not be aware of this, but Salvation Army has a salad luncheon every year. And those ladies that volunteer, they were volunteers of the year,
not this year.
For the chamber. It's every kind of salad you can think of. It's at the First Baptist Church.
Salvation Army is a great job.
Like $5 or something?
$7.
$7.
Yeah, that's
$7. And they load you up.
And you get food, drink, dessert, They got they have a raffle for a quilt that Sonia Cantrell made, and they've got a lot. It's a great fundraiser. It goes for the Christmas and backpack programs.
And they used to have, I don't know if they'll do it, but they usually have out in kind of the lobby foyer of the church, they have some crafts set up.
Bake sale.
Bake sale, a lot of things. Miss Norma Hamm was a huge part of that. She's sadly gone now, but I used to just look for what she had made. But I think it's just something to look forward to every year.
It is, and if you
they do a soup lunch later on in the wintertime too. So
they do, and it's really good too. And if you want to eat some food baked with happiness and love, that's the place to go. April 9th is Eddie, my dad's birthday, too.
So I really had a real message from Bill. Okay, about it wasn't just one of these collar things. He wanted to talk. He said we might want to say something. Little Flock, the old stone building church that's over there on Road 8.
Yes. Down by Riders Point.
Down by Riders Ford, yeah. It was built in 1877. It's not. We don't have any buildings that are standing around that are that old.
Yeah.
This was it last year when Cherokee Nation made it part of the restoration project, and it was like one of their national treasures. And they are working on it. Bill says, do you think no water wasn't even around when this thing was built?
Exactly.
It was used for schools, meeting halls, and a church. And yeah, he says Chief Hoskins signed the papers last year getting it fully rebuilt. It was brought to his attention a few years before by Bill and NAFI. And we're good to have history in the north part of Cherokee Nation. This was a freedmen's community, and
it was built by like seven ladies that they couldn't cross the river to get to church. They're out tired of that. Okay. So they said they'll just have their own church.
So we've only got a couple more minutes here, but we want to give credit to our sponsor, Smilin' Charlie, who provides the giveaways. Cooperative Credit Union, located at 313 West 9th here in Coffeyville. They provide wonderful service, great rates. In fact, everything you could want in a financial institute. And remember,
it's where you belong.
And get down and see Lyle and his staff today. Finally, our last sponsor is Cherokee Nation. We appreciate their support, not only for Fry Bread Journeys, but for their efforts in supporting Coffeyville, Wado.
Wado.
And we want to give a Wado Egwa to John Weston for coming on this morning. You need to check out Cherokee Chat. Of course, KGGF, James Copeland, we enjoy our time, and put us on your calendar. Our next episode will be Monday, April 22nd at 9:10 a.m. Follow and like us on Facebook.
Yes.
Dona Dagoha e Nagata, which just means until we meet again, everyone.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, very good. Well, Chris and John and Amy, it's just absolutely fantastic to have you here in studio. And we can't wait for next week, or next month, that is.
Yeah.
And all the goings on with Fry Bread Journeys. And, of course, don't forget to check out the Fry Bread Journeys Facebook page throughout the entire month. There's always stuff you guys are sharing on there as we gear up for another episode coming your way very shortly here next month.
Wado.
Wado.
Keep here on the Mighty 690. We have more Open Line coming up.